303-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM, and on the web at kboo.fm. It's a few minutes before 9. Coming up next is Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell.
Those were New York minutes. This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. It's 9 o'clock Pacific time. I'm Teresa Mitchell, and I hope that you'll join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. And part of that, we'll be talking with another Green Party primary presidential candidate. And this is going to be Serenam Kinamo Kristen Moya Wazifsa Curry. She'll be coming up in just a few minutes. So headlines first. The impeachment inquiry hearings are entering their fifth nationally televised session today, having had an impact on the national discourse, disproportionate to the actual size of each television audience. The ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, despite being caught out as a liar, came clean earlier this week and admitted that the campaign he mounted in Ukraine was designed to see through Trump's scheme to extort electoral dirt versus Trump's opponent. Moreover, he revealed that Trump didn't care whether an investigation actually went forward, merely that it be announced that one was being conducted. So, in other words, it was all about smearing Biden in the press. Curiouser, more importantly, thanks to the hearings, the nation is now talking about bribery and extortion and obstruction of justice in the White House. Heretofore, Trump has been able to dominate the news and media cycle coverage on any issue important to him, or indeed any issue that he and Stephen Miller have wanted to cook up. Now Trump, the reality TV producer and star, is forced to take a back seat as the accusations against his presidency and re-election campaign get the micro and macro examination day after day. The impact is not just from the audience size, but from this persistency, and so it's no wonder he was hospitalized, probably for a panic attack. Trump is losing control. More on this after the interview, if we have time. We shall see. You can get this podcast by searching KBOO Press Watch podcast. You'll find Press Watch on Apple, Stitcher, AInfos, and the KBOO app. Please rate and review the podcast so that other people can find it. That's how it's done. Now, another headline news item from theroot.com. Gainesville, Georgia police arrested a white 16-year-old girl for an alleged plot to carry out a knife attack at a black church. A statement released from the Gainesville Police Department confirmed that the church was targeted by the girl based on the racial demographic of the members. The girl, whose name has not been released, was flagged to authorities after her classmates at Gainesville High alerted school counselors about a notebook containing detailed plans to commit murder at Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church. According to the Gainesville Times, police believe the girl was acting alone, shades of Dylan Roof. Skipping ahead in the report, police report she had been planning the attack for the past couple of weeks. She had procured some butcher knives, kitchen knives, to do the attack with, and had actually scouted out the location. That's a quote from Chief Jay Parrish, who also said she had written down how she wanted to do it, the best way to do it, end quote. Citing Police Sergeant Kevin Holbrook, BuzzFeed News writes the girl had even visited the church, quote, either to commit the attack or stake out the place, but there was no one there. So this is very serious. And she was charged with criminal attempt to commit murder. I selected this story because it shares something with the ongoing horror of the rape, murder, and disappearance of indigenous women, a story that I think KBOO needs to bring up time and again, and we are doing that. Not just the horror and terror of whiteness, but the fact that there are societies, in this case, Christo-fascist, and in the case of the reservation murderers, probably an online and or strip club talking society that gives these monsters their social approval to do this sort of act. And so I ask you, the listener, to identify, expose, and thereby destroy such societies wherever possible. Be aware, learn the code words and symbols. For example, last week I got a chance to deface a black sun that was showing on Foster Road. Make it your business to deface and tear down swastikas, 1488 scrawls, misogynist graffiti, etc. And notice who objects. This is one of the better uses of white privilege. And by the way, another one is to answer and to show up when you get jury duty and try to get on those grand juries and look up jury nullification and understand what your full rights are as a juror. Fascist intimidation must always be immediately countered or it will fester. Turning to international news, South Bend, Indiana mayor and would-be Democratic presidential nominee Pete Buttigieg told CBS that he was troubled that Obama extended clemency to the whistleblower Chelsea Manning, freeing her from the prison where she had been tortured and incarcerated for upholding her oath to defend the Constitution by revealing evidence of U.S. war crimes. He also dislikes Ed Snowden. Buttigieg told CBS News Radio on the sidelines of the South by Southwest Festival, where he spoke over the weekend, that he was troubled by former President Obama's decision to commute the 35-year prison sentence for Chelsea Manning days before he left office in 2017. Chelsea Manning is still imprisoned with a $1,000 day fine, as revenge by a conservative judge when she refused to comply with another secret grand jury. Julian Assange is dying in Belmarsh Prison. Ed Snowden is in hiding. Reality Winner is in prison for leaking the documents proving Russia interfered with the 2016 election. And KBOO Radio needs your ongoing volunteer and financial help now, kboo.fm. Now, I am pleased to be able to bring to you Serinam Kinamo Kristen Moya Wasifsa Curry, the Green Party primary candidate, or a Green Party primary candidate for U.S. president. We have had Howie Hawkins on before, and I hope to interview all of the candidates. Ms. Curry, welcome to KBOO Radio.
Thank you. It's Moya Wasifsa Curry.
Oh, thank you. Moya Wasifsa Curry, okay. I'll try and get that straight. Well, Wikipedia says that you were born into a family with strong civil involvement. What do you think of the Wikipedia article? Can I use that?
I didn't hear you quite clear.
Oh, okay. I'm reading from Wikipedia. Is that going to be okay with you? You never know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It says that in 2008, you actively sought the Green Party's vice presidential nomination, and it says that your first attempt at running for the presidency was during the 2016 United States presidential election. It says that you're opposed to nuclear energy, that you're an anti-capitalist, describing capitalism as barbaric, and it says that you were influenced by Shirley Chisholm and Pan-Africanism. So is that all correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the air on KBOO. You have promoted a green program that would exceed the scope of the Green New Deal. Can you talk about that?
It's called the Green System Change. The blue or the Green Deal does not dismantle this barbaric system of capitalism. So we believe in ecological economics, which is not based on that traditional corporate model of taking from the earth. We're about sustainability, trust, and liberty. So it's quite opposite of what's being played within our own party as well as the corporate-funded Democrats.
So it's it's more than just a Green New Deal. It's taking down capitalism. How does your Green program compare to that suggested by, say, Naomi Klein?
I'm not so familiar with them, and we focus more on ecological economics, and so far no one is actually tackling the economic system. So that's our focus, is to get folks to understand the difference between the two. So it's been, working with academics as well as our team and doing workshops around the nation. We've traveled so far to 14 states promoting the green system change.
And your green system change, how would it be funded?
Oh, it's simple. We're a rich nation. It'd be funded through the current systems of tax incentives as well as folks connecting and realizing that if they change to a sustainable way of life, not only will they decrease their own, output, but also it'll ensure that our nation has resources available that are not spent on, you know, giving tax breaks to fossil industries and other industries that extract. So we would reprioritize our economy based on sustainability, not, you know, pulling away from the earth. But one of the other things our campaign is championing, not only for our party but for our nation, is looking at America at 300. We are not, and the Green Party is not anti-racist. We have a lot of great words, really nice things about reparations as well as ending capitalism, but it's not a concrete platform. So this December, every Sunday in December, we'll be doing an open reading of How to Be an Anti-Racist. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the book by Ibrahim X. Kendi.
I'm not.
Okay, so he started he's a co-founder of the Anti-Racist Institute in Washington, is it American University in Washington, D.C. And again, you know, been on this campaign trail. Green Party folks didn't even realize that we're not anti-racist. Either for me, you're an anti-racist or a racist. Up until two and a half months ago, I was a racist. Real simple way of looking at things without, like, decoding. We're using racist ideas to make assumptions about folks. So every Sunday, I mean, you got to read ahead of time, folks. But use Pseudonym 2020 on Facebook. You can get the information on our event page.
Okay, looks like Ibrahim McKinsey is also. Ibrahim McKinsey is also. I'm sorry, is Ibrahim McKinsey also on Facebook?
Oh, by all means, and you can get the book. You know, How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibrahim X. Kendi, K-E-N-D-I.
Okay.
He's won all kind of awards and everything. He's an award-winning author. So you would love his other book.
Oh, sounds like we lost the connection there. So we will go back to the phone lines and see what we can do about putting that back together. In the meantime, I was talking about the situation in which the United States, the world, and the United States particularly have turned against whistleblowers and turned against journalism. And this is proven by the deaths and imprisonment of journalists around the world. And as I was saying, Ed Snowden is in hiding. Julian Assange is in Belmarsh prison. And Reality Winner is in prison. So this is the context in which we find ourselves. And I have to thank the engineer because he very swiftly got the phone lines back, and I'm back with Ms. Curry. Are you there?
Moyawasifa Curry.
Moyawasifa Curry. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Let's see now. We were talking about, let's expand that and then talk about whiteness in left organizations. I am white. I'm on the board here at KBOO, and one of the things that we're going to address at our next meeting is our failure over the years to fully empower people of color within the organization. One of our problems is that demographically, Portland is still 75% white, and we have a habit of half measures like white equity gestures here at KBOO. Are you talking about a similarity in the Green Party? How white is the Green Party?
Let's deconstruct that word. There's no white land, and we've just challenged the Green Party to stop using it. There's 15 tribes of Europe that anyone that has European DNA connect to that. Whiteness is a construct, you know, created here in America to stop class struggle. So we have to all acknowledge that Curry in my name is from Europe. I have European DNA. I do. If we looked at the world and if we all made getting your DNA a part of your birth, you know, testing your blood when you're born, it would end some of the fallacy and illusions about whiteness. And the majority of the world is of hue, it has darker hue. So there's no minorities, like how they use that word for folks of color. So I think deconstructing the word would be a good first step. What is white and what really does it mean? You know, I think that's a start. And secondly, look at your demographics of your state. There, I did a research. There's, you know, abundance of folks of color, indigenous people that are there. So if the station took up becoming anti-racist, watch what would happen. The policies, procedures, anything that does not empower all of us human beings in this nation to be a part of it, it would end. That's why anti-racist is critically important for every organization in America.
It really got my antenna wiggling to hear you say that whiteness is a status. This is something that I've repeated myself. One of my favorite things to bring up is the fact that in apartheid South Africa, Japanese citizens were designated as white. You know, and of course, no one thought that they had particularly pale skin, but they were, you know, they're white because that was the status that they were then given. The powerful economic and social status that allowed them to make any business deal and go to any restaurant and walk down any street. It's just, for me, it's very encouraging to hear that sort of attitude. But now, I think I got it from Wikipedia, but you have a proposal to limit white reproduction. Is that still part of your program?
Oh, no, that never have. You know, that part, nah. Not my reality.
All right.
I'm one of 26 children. So you're talking, they're barking up the wrong tree with there.
All right.
That's nothing to do with me.
All right. Thank you for straightening that out. We'll erase that line of inquiry. Let's turn now to capitalism and green progress, et cetera. What is your objection to nuclear power?
Well, it takes from the earth. It's not replenishable. When you look at nature, the only eruptions that take place are natural through volcanic and earth shifting. That we have no control over. But when you take the forces of nature and infuse them to make something that we can't control, it's not sustainable.
Okay.
It's really physics for me.
Okay. Are you interested in taking calls from our listeners?
Oh, by all means. I was hoping we would be able to do that.
Okay, great. The number to call is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And while we're waiting for a call or two to come in, getting from the only source that I was really able to find at the last minute, have you filed with the Federal Elections Commission? Or do you intend to?
By all means.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We've got an official campaign. We're there.
All right. Okay, now let's turn to the impeachment inquiry process. What is the good and bad of the impeachment inquiry process, in your opinion?
I see it as just a process. He has no moral compass. Our nation is lost. We lack leadership, and that's the main reason I'm running. Because you have to have some level of understanding about our American culture. And this man lacks any depth of compassion and creating a perfect union. It's very reactionary and not thoughtful. Those decisions that he's made, it's abominable. It's barbaric. It's, I wish them well to get him on out of office.
As we were setting up the interview, I was saying that the impeachment process is interesting to me. My first impulse is to take a rather cynical attitude towards it, but as a transgender woman, I'm very interested in getting Trump specifically out of power and disrupting the Trump-Pence agenda against transgender people. So
yes.
I'm watching it very carefully and, trying to see what effect. I'm looking for the meta effect. The arguments are interesting to me because the arguments are all set within the context of accepting the imperialism that's going on, in this case, in Ukraine,
yes.
Where we just deny the independence of the Donbas region, deny its existence altogether, and say that it's all a fight between Russia and U.S. and NATO for control of Ukraine, which is, you know, what they wish that it was. The thing that really drives me is just, things have changed for me and maybe for you too, is when I exit a public restroom, especially when I'm traveling out of Portland, I watch, I bet you know this gesture, I watch the edges of the door when I go out. And that mm-hmm. hasn't been true for years now, but it is true now.
Yeah. We have to, humanity is humanity. And it's this system of capitalism that has created a false narrative about who we each are. And that's why I have to look at everything through capitalist versus non-capitalist lens. So everything that they're doing is barbaric to me. if we can't treat each other with love, respect, and a level of trust, that's the issue. We don't have our nation hasn't confronted its racist and insensitive past, nor have we done reparations, nor supported where we want to head. And that's why America at 300, doing a questionnaire for all Americans and folks who are with us to figure out where we want to be. Because, you know, we all weren't included at the beginning, just like with the Green Party. Folks of color weren't there in, you know, 1996. So we have to recognize and acknowledge, first and foremost, that we weren't there and things were not done in respect to nature nor humanity. And then we have to confess what's wrong, what happened, and then redefine some terms, as I mentioned to you about whiteness, and then figure out what identity we want as a nation, as a political party, and as a culture, where we want to head, and then we change and transform. So it's about green system change all across the board. But like you mentioned, these things are happening now. But I caution everyone to look at things through a long-term lens of ending what exists now, because it will not sustain us in the future.
All right.
You know about Extinction Rebellion. So it won't sustain us beyond, I think they're saying, I don't even know the latest. It changes every other couple of months. So I have to look up and give you the date. They're saying we won't be here.
Huh. Well, let's go to the first caller. Ken is on the air. Oh, Kim, I'm sorry. Kim, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I have a quick question. I recently began as a student at a local beauty college here in Portland. And
yes.
I've been there for about a month now, and it's a predominantly white college. It is run by white folks, but there are students of color there. And I have noticed racist language from my teachers and, you know, in front of and even too directly the students of color. And I'm just wondering, as a white person or white ally, like how, or if you had any advice about going about addressing or helping the college and the leaders there realize their behavior and like kind of, you know, offering them an option of addressing this problem. And you know, I do have like some like selfish kind of motives where I want, you know, part of me has learned to be silent because I will experience like backlash or you know, treatment that I would prefer not to experience. But I really want to do the right thing and support my students, my fellow classmates, and to try to change the system in this way that I feel like I have the ability to.
Thank you, Kim, for your concern and voicing your uncomfortableness. First and foremost, I would make friends with the folks of color to just check in with them to see how they're, you know, sustaining themselves. So that's one. And then once you have that level of, you know, intimacy and connection with those folks of color, that process that I don't know if you mentioned, you acknowledge, you can confess, and you can redefine that with them directly and personally.
Okay.
After that, when folks of color agree with you that these are things they want to move forward on, then you all join that Sunday call and read the book. Because it's really important that you get the background, the history, because there are racist ideas that they made, the school might have picked up from, you know, our nation. So they're just consumers of ideas. They're not creators.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, and I shared earlier, I don't know if you heard that, I had to acknowledge that I was a racist up until 2.5 months ago, because I grow grapes. And I spent a lot of my time in Ghana, West Africa. And I was calling this nation a developing nation based on just regurgitating what you hear. So many times, all of us don't understand that we're just pushing out racist concepts that we didn't create. We're just regurgitating. So just be mindful that they might not be aware. You happen to, you know, have self-analysis, so you became aware. So have patience with everybody. Please don't just move, go out. But first, again, I would recommend you speak directly with the folks of color, build a relationship so they see you as an ally. After that, you all discuss what steps you want to take. Because if you can do quiet and soft, you know, power, you might get every student to sign an agreement that you all want to confront your instructor and then confront the owners. But it's a process. In the Green Party, we're going to be doing for the next 6 months after we read the book, a monthly conversation to help create a platform to go to our political party. So do you see, it's a process. You don't have to erupt like a volcano.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Take your time. Build a friendship. Build community. Get educated. Understand. You know, so you're comfortable with the changes you're going to make, too. It all takes work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that advice.
Thank you for your call. I really appreciate your openness.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye.
All right. It's 9:25 Pacific time, and you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And I have been talking with Setinam Kinamo Christian Moya Wazifsa Curry, Green Party primary candidate. Did I get it right that time for U.S. president?
Yeah.
I'm very
cool.
Sorry. I'm a little slow sometimes.
We all are.
Get my tongue going here. Now, you mentioned several times you've mentioned America at 300. Are you talking about 300 million citizens, or is this a reference to 1719?
Oh, no. Year 300. You know, we celebrated our centennial in 1976. So we're going to celebrate our, I don't know what the third, you know, the three thing is. Our 300, that our nation would be 300 years old in 2076. It's so important that we look long term, because we didn't create this crap, you know, in a day. It took years to get capitalism to where it's messing up the earth. It didn't just happen.
I guess it's quadricentennial since slaves were first brought to Jamestown in 1619.
So enslaved, because there were not slaves in that concept. Folks were kidnapped, raped, maimed, and brought here. So we came here as enslaved folks. So that's one of those awareness and
framing,
redefining words. So enslaved. You know, fortunately, the nation of Ghana in West Africa is celebrating the year of the return. So they're doing this whole year long because of, you know, marking this 400 years to bring folks back home and inculcate and enculturate black folks from all over the world who were stolen back home. So there's a lot of positive going around this as well.
Okay, well, we're going to leave it at that because we've been having fun and the whole half hour is gone. And I thank you very much for joining me today, Moya Wazifsa Curry of the Green Party. And there will be more Green Party candidates coming up, pardon me, on Press Watch. On my December 5th show, I'm going to be talking with candidate for 41st District of Oregon Senate. So I'm going to be doing a bit of this electoral stuff, and I'll be doing it properly, getting everyone on and satisfying the FEC and FCC requirements. thanks for tuning in. Go ahead.
Can I just mention, if you all folk want to connect with our campaign, Pseudonym 2020 on Facebook.
Pseudonym 2020 on Facebook. Thank you very much.
All the best.
Thank you.
Make the White House green. Bye.
Make the White House green. All right. Okay, so you are listening to KBOO Portland. Don't forget that tonight at 8:50 p.m. Pacific, you can look towards Orion if you're in an area where you can see clearly past, you know, any clouds, and you will see, hopefully, a large meteor shower. It's called the Monoceratids, a delight brought to you by nature. And also, I want to remind you that I am continuing to I'm catching most of the sessions. I'm live tweeting at KBOO Press Watch on Twitter. KBOO Press Watch on Twitter, live tweeting the impeachment inquiry hearings. And you've been listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, other frequencies in Cascadia, and KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Fight the Empire. Parafagering connects history of the European conquest of America to the latest world events. At 10 on Sprouts, Lucas talks with LGBTQ advocate and U.S. diplomat Bruce Knotts about LGBTQ refugees and asylum seekers. At 10:30, it's Express Yourself with host Jai, featuring talented spoken word artists, rappers, poets, and singers from around the Portland metropolitan area. And 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman interviews the iconic Zadie Smith about her new work, Grand Union, a varied collection of new stories that shows off her range between realism, dystopia, satire, and the post-apocalyptic. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. And if you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Thank you.